Ever so slightly important is hitting that record button.
I've done a 2-hour podcast where Jace forgot to hit the record button.
Oh God, when we first started doing like LRM ranks it and the show, Jammer and I had times, and Nick and I had times where it was like, oh God, we either didn't hit record or the file got messed up or something. You're just like, oh God, it's so hard to fake it a second time if you try and
it seems a little robotic at that point.
Yeah, because you already blew it, man. You already gave all you could on that, you know. Great. Welcome to the show. Today's episode is proudly sponsored by Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. More on them in a bit. Yeah, it's terrible when that happens, but the great thing is when it doesn't matter, and you can just like be upfront about it and be like, look, I've done that, or it's like we forgot to hit the record button, and there's no way we could do 2 hours for real. So we're gonna give you guys like the lowdown, nitty gritty, like just condense it in 30 minutes or less. You're like, I fucking loved it, or I fucking hated it. This is why. Now leave me alone so I can go cry.
It's more about the time you wasted than the actual. Yeah. So
yes. Oh God, time is so so precious for everyone. I used to like, you remember like slowly growing up when your punishments started changing, right? From, you know, maybe corporal punishment, depending on the person or parents, where you get, you know, hand smacked, spanked, whatever, to like getting things taken away, to getting grounded. And then there was always the teenage thing of, you know, Kyle, come here. I'm disappointed. Oh God, no. Yell at me. Scream. Don't be disappointed. Like, be mad. Mad. Get angry. You know, because the disappointment thing was always like the worst. But time was always the thing for me. My parents would just take my time. It was horrible. Like, I could spend days in my room playing games, watching movies, reading comics or whatever, and never come out. And then as soon as my parents were like, you're grounded to your room, it's like, no, let me out. Let me. I got to get out of here. I want to go outside and play. I don't want to be in here.
Yeah.
So anyways, man, what's up with the Star Wars background today? Or is that Star Wars? Yeah, that's Star Wars.
It
yeah.
is. I recorded a War of the Bounty Hunters episode last night, and I got lazy.
How are you enjoying that series?
Dude, it's so good so far. Today we'll be dropping, I think it's Star Wars issue 13. I think that's what it is.
Yes.
That's the next prelude. And that's taking it from Luke's point of view. And I think next week it's the Darth Vader one, and then Dr. Aphra. But these are not main story books. They're kind of like, you don't have to read them, but like we talked last night, you're getting a richer story and see what's up with the characters during this time period. And I guess maybe it's because it's the legacy characters for Star Wars, just makes it that much more fun.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. It is. Boba Fett was one of those characters, you know, that I'm like Cam. Like, I looked at him in Empire, and I'm like, yeah, you look cool, but dude, you got nerfed, man. You got, like, totally just, you know, you became comedic relief, and because of that, I never got that affinity for him, and because I wasn't there for, like, the mystery. You know, because I, like, when I was young, it was like I discovered Star Wars at like 4 or 5 years old. I can fully remember them at like 6, 7, and it's like immediately after Empire, I'm watching Return of the Jedi, so I see him just die. You know,
yeah.
Like, get eaten by the
not gracefully either.
No, so I never cared about the character. I didn't. I always made fun of people. I had the toys and stuff because you got to get them all. Like Pokemon back in the day, 90s Star Wars toys. But the Mandalorian I know that EU tried to make them cooler, and there was some stuff that I liked, but in general, it was really just Tamir and Dave and John and the group behind the Mandalorian taking Boba. And I know a lot of people have connections with the clones played and voiced by Tamir and stuff, and some of the characters from the cartoon by B Billy Dee Bradley, I th think it is, or whatever. He's a cool character now, and it's I'm kind of interested to see this comic storyline. Even though, as some of you guys might hear today on the Cantina later on, Disney and their idea of canon is a lot more fluid than the EU even was. So I am interested in the story. So that's cool. Did you hear about the crazy idea of Ghost Rider coming back to the MCU, but not having his own movie?
Yeah, I heard about it. I'm still sour about the fact that they're not bringing back Reyes for his own series.
Or Alejandra. She would be great too. But either way, go ahead.
So whatever. Like Ghost Rider is such a Ghost Rider is a cool character, man. And despite the Ghost Rider film not being that great, I thought he still looked cool. And he there's a couple of different places you can place him. But yeah, like do something with them, man. Like I don't know, but they're doing a lot with a lot of characters right now. The fact that they're working on Moon Knight and She-Hulk and things like that, I can't be mad. Like Miss Marvel also and things like that. Like all right, you're doing other characters though. It's not like you're not doing anything. So I'll just have to sit tight.
Yeah, the hashtag show, they're the ones that talked about the rumor, and in their words, and Cam summarizes it in this article. Basically, Johnny Blaze coming. It's gonna be a reboot, and could be used as like Hulk showing up in other films, but not getting their own vehicle. The only way I really like this idea is, like I said, with the I think it's Alejandra Jo Jones, that was the female character with the crotch rocket bike, but at least she had a bike. I still think the idea of Johnny being older, and I know some people might not like that because they did it with Ant-Man, but I like the idea of him having already done this bit. We know magic's existed for a while and stuff, and using parts of the Alejandra's origin story with like Adam and the South Central American and jungles, and Johnny p passing on the spirit of vengeance, n not even necessarily being a full-on mentor like Pym is in the first Ant-Man, so to speak. But I don't know, it sucks that it got Johnny Blaze wrong, but to me, there's other stories to see that we haven't seen yet, you know?
The other thing also is like a Bruce Banner, he's a scientist and he does a lot just as Bruce Banner. And then so sometimes you don't even necessarily need the Hulk.
That's
Like he's
true.
cool and whatever, but and I just don't feel the same way about Johnny Blaze or any of the other characters. Like, okay, why are you here? Like just to for a fan service or what's your purpose? Like what like, you know, like in DC, how they have Dr. Fate show up when nobody else can f fix anything. And then he just shows up and he's like, hey, I'm Dr. Fate. Check this out. Boom. Problem solved. I wouldn't like that. Like, I wouldn't like that because then it kind of taints the character a little bit, kind of makes him annoying. That because that's how I felt a little bit about like Dr. Fate. He's such a cool character. But the problem is that sometimes he's so OP that like when he shows up, you're like, oh, that's how they're gonna fix it. Dr. Fate's just gonna fix it. So as long as you give me a good purpose, that'll be key. Rather than, hey guys, look, it's Ghost Rider again. Just like, They're all driving or something. He's just like, yeah, it's like, why? So who is this guy? Just like
He's going
randomly shows
somewhere.
up every time we're riding around.
Anytime there's magic issues. I will point out to everyone that there's a very, very specific character that is very closely tied in to Ghost Rider. Just throwing that out there, and the idea of him coming back to the MCU, because technically he was part of it before he wasn't. Anyways, coming back to the MCU is we'll see. We'll see what happens with the M word there. I'll tell you something else about Marvel, and it was kind of disappointing to not see more word on Blade, something they announced, Comic-Con San Diego in 2019. Their Phase 4 thing didn't have much on that, and Feige seems to not be talking too much about it. We know we're getting Moon Knight, which has some supernatural stuff, but it all reminds me of conversations we were having with the Defenders, and the idea of supernatural Defenders, like a Ghost Rider, Blade, and maybe Moon Knight team up series, or something like that. I'm really saddened by Disney and Marvel's lack of interest in more mature superhero content now that everything's over at Marvel Studios, the streaming, the TV, the movies. You don't necessarily have to have rated R, but I don't know. No, man, I want something more from Ghost Rider this time. You know what I'm saying? No matter who it is, I want a little bit more Ghost Rider. Does that make sense?
No, it makes perfect sense, but it's Disney now, so you kind of like I'm not even gonna hold my breath to try and it's like
Oh, it's
saying
not happening.
Sony it's like saying Sony's gonna make a good Spider-Man movie. Disney's not going to go all dark and gritty and I don't know. They say they're doing making a Deadpool movie, right? And you're like, and I'm just like, all right, let's see what you got, because Fox may not have done too many great things over there with the X-Men characters.
That was
Deadpool
one of them.
worked. And so now it's in the hands of Disney. I'm fairly sure that it's going to be toned down a bit.
I
Although
foresee it.
with Ryan Reynolds on the project, I do have hope that he'll fight for his creation, really, because it's all him. Then again, next thing you know, we'll see a report. Is Disney fires Ryan Reynolds looking for Ryan Gosling as Deadpool or some like weird thing like that. So, yeah.
I was gonna say, I think the drugs and sex humor will be toned down a bit. I don't
Yeah.
think the cursing or violence necessarily will be, but I do think drug humor and sex humor, like you're not gonna see a pegging joke in Marvel's studios or in association with Marvel Studios Deadpool. Like that's not, if they put in another pegging joke, I'll stand up and clap, and
Oh
I'll
boy.
kiss Bob the Bobs. Both of them. 'Cause I'll be like, hey, bravo, guys. You guys, I don't know if you know that's in there, but it's in there, and good for you. I do, like I said, I'm not one of those people that is like screaming up and down, oh, we have to have rated R Venom, or we have to have a rated R Ghost Rider. There are great ways to do horror thrillers and things PG-13, and to get good scares at PG-13. You don't have to have gore. You don't violence is part of it. It's supernatural, fantastical violence, but you could do a good hard PG-13 Ghost Rider, a good hard PG-13 Venom, a good hard PG-13 or TV-14 Moon Knight. And I think overall, the majority of people, parents of, kids at least 8, 9 years old, I think the majority of them that are that, already watch stuff like that would, I think it would do good. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to a good story, to good development, good characters, character representation. I mean, but there's just I don't see the rating first. I'll check the movie out first before it's like, you know what, that needed to be toned up a little bit more, or toned down, or maybe even that didn't need a rating that much. You needed to just adjust some things, and you made it for the rating, just to have the rating, not because it actually needed it.
Like
I think
Snyder's Justice League, I don't really see that being too much of an maybe a couple places, but like the head thing, but whatever.
It didn't necessarily need
The
rated
R,
R.
no.
I think an example of that, I didn't think Birds of Prey needed to be rated R.
I haven't seen that one yet.
That was just extra for being extra. I don't know. It just it would have been a fine PG-13 movie. It did not necessarily need it. That's an example. So yeah, it's interesting when you choose that. Like the Deadpool, obviously, yes, rated R for obvious reasons. But yeah, it just give me a story first. There are some franchises where you can't do anything other than R. Deadpool, like I mentioned, Mortal Kombat has to be rated
Has to be.
R. And then
Alien
just,
and Predator,
yeah,
they've
Alien and
got those
Predator,
now. It's
yeah.
like, no, they gotta be our guys.
They do. So yeah, but give me a compelling story first, and then we'll talk.
Yeah, I agree. And like I said, that's why I said it's like it doesn't have to be our, it could de definitely be a little different, and it's got to be a good story, and t tones have got to be right. And the other thing I would recommend to just people in general is don't be wusses and don't let your kids be. No, I'm joking. Anyways, let's take a word from our sponsors real quick before we continue on.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service, and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
And thank you guys so much for sponsoring the show. Manny, I don't know if you heard, but here in the US at least, late last night, early this morning, it was announced the CDC's relaxing mask guidelines and recommending states relaxing some capacity guidelines and restrictions for fully vaccinated people. That's 2 weeks after your whatever shot series you got, whether it's the Johnson one shot or one of the others, two shots. With that comes a surprising announcement to me, and that is Warner Brothers announced that they're going to release the Suicide Squad a week earlier in the UK in theaters, basically kind of going back to the way things were done before the pandemic. Digital Spy got confirmation of the change from Warner Brothers themselves. It's not a rare thing for overseas to get movies first, and even in music, I don't know if Manny knows the term B-side, but a lot of albums will have a special track or two added for foreign releases, because they don't get the tours as much. They don't get things like that, and same with Hollywood movies. Theaters run for different lengths of time, and foreign markets, all of that. This is again a big positive sign for me, and the studio's feelings on theatrical releases. As angry as I get at foreign markets getting shit a week later in the 21st century, I'm happy that the studios feel strong enough to do this. What does this say to you, Manny?
It just says that we're getting back to business as usual.
This is good, right?
And business is good.
Yes.
and no, you know what I'm so excited about is the fact that we have so many movies backlogged.
Oh God.
That there's a lot to look forward to in the next couple of years, and especially starting in the summer, you know, with Black Widow. Hell, I'm even excited for like Jungle Cruise and Suicide Squad's another one of those. So there's just so much. Like, oh my God, I've wanted to watch that damn James Bond movie.
Oh yeah.
For a cool minute now. And so we're finally going to get it. We're finally going to get a lot of stuff. Dune is another one. So let's go, man. I wonder if they're still going to stick to the movies the rest of the year to release them on HBO Max. Or if some of those movies, maybe they're going to retract. Dune's one of them. For example, Spiral is a theaters only now. But I remember in the beginning, I thought it was going to be part of that.
So they did change that officially. It's theaters only.
The last
that you heard or saw?
That I saw that it said in theaters only.
Yeah, that is crazy because there was if I'm not mistaken, and anyone in the comments can correct us if one of us are wrong, absolutely. But I believe originally when they announced it all, they were like, yeah, everything in 2021 will be both. And then they were like, oh, Dune, because I think I don't remember if it was the Directors Guild or Producers Guild, but it was when they were having some issues, and we all know what did allegedly what happened, the way some of us have understand it is – when the hoopla started, Warner Brothers basically told the hierarchy, we're going to pay the bonuses and the theater stuff to the creators. Just relax. We'll pay them. We'll eat it and we'll carry on, which is why that seems to have kind of died down.
Right.
Which kind of makes it funny because, wait, I thought it was about the experience. But you're telling me once you got paid, you quieted down. Okay, it's fine. It's cool. I love money too. I'm not hating. I just want people to be honest and consistent. If you love money, say you love money. Anyways,
I'd be straight up. It's like, wait, yeah. So you agree with it now? It's like, no, I don't. But they gave me money, so whatever.
Exactly. exactly. But anyway, I got paid. Damn it. They then came out and said, no, Dune will be theaters only. And then it was back to being both. So that's I'm not angry at it. Are you? If they all of a sudden said everything from Suicide Squad after Suicide Squad will be theaters only, would you be that upset? I wouldn't.
No, I really wouldn't. But, you know, speaking on that, you know, it's really interesting. Yesterday, Disney announced. Okay, The Rock announced the release for Jungle Cruise.
Yes.
And I was actually kind of surprised that it's at the end of July and they have decided to also continue to make that in theaters and Disney with Premier Access also on the same day. I thought that by then they would have already pushed it to theaters only. So it started just, you know, making me think, could this be the new norm for Disney? Because they're just like, they're always going to use the excuse of oh, you know, if you don't feel comfortable going with the theaters, you know, we want you to experience the movie. But I'm like, bullshit. If this was true, you guys wouldn't be pushing so hard for Disneyland, Disney World to be open.
That's true.
So it is. I'm watching you, Disney, because I feel like this may be your new norm to allow it to be released on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's I'm a little shifty eye with them right now as far as their movie release, because I can see like Warner Brothers going back to just full on just theaters, MGM and whatever, all those other Sony. But Disney, I'm watching them, and it'll be interesting to see some of their next releases in the fall and things like that, to see if they're also going to continue to do that.
Yeah,
You know what? Shang-Chi is going to be a real, it's going to be a real telling.
Yeah, if that is also Premier Access.
Yeah, if that's also Premier Access, that's when I'll start more raising the alarm.
And I would also, I'll remind somebody, and I've got this page up, and we'll talk about it in just a second. But I'll remind everyone about this too. Before the pandemic, there was a conversation besides streaming services, and the idea of watching movies at home, which has been a conversation for many years since Netflix started kicking off. But the other conversation has always been, and something that would now be legal, the idea of studios owning operating theater chains. And I still think Disney's got that on the table. What do you think? Are you gonna go watch a movie at the Disney theater in your local city in the near future, Manny?
I don't care where I watch the movie, as long as it's on a big screen.
Do you see that happening?
Because
that was a conversation before.
It was, and they actually they took out some
laws. Legal laws,
to make it possible again. I do see it happening because I mean I thought Amazon was looking to buy also AMC when they were in trouble.
Yeah,
I know that they were looking at that too. So. I think so. Because why not? The whole point is to make more money, and if it's on the table, I don't see why they don't do it. That's why they have a streaming service now. That's why they're cutting out theaters also with access from home.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I'm excited. Everything's opening them up, but I want to know what is going to be this new normal.
Yeah,
because it's not going back to the same thing as before.
Not 100%. No. And Disney definitely is looking for less middleman. I mean, again, on the Cantina today, we talk a little bit about Disney's business model and hierarchy changing. There's a lot more compartmentalization and less creatives in top positions with more ads, PR, distribution types, executives getting promoted to the top spots and being given more control over company direction than in the past. It's interesting. We'll see what happens. Can you blame Disney not wanting to share Marvel money with the theaters? No, you can't blame them, but it's still kind of shitty, but you can't blame them. Anyways, the cool thing is I brought this up just a second ago. I'll bring it up again. This came from Eric Davis. He's like the Fandango managing editor. There you go. The amount of 2020 movies pushed to 2021 is insane. But when you look over here at 2022, dude, it's almost half 2021 films. 2022, you're looking at Morbius, that Death on the Nile, Uncharted, The Batman, Doc Strange, Mission Impossible, The Next Jurassic World, Fantastic Beasts 3, Indy 5, Halloween Ends, Avatar 2, like... It's insane. Like you said, the stacked schedule and all of that. These are movies we should have seen already sometimes, you know? And almost all of these we should just about have seen, except for some of the ones in black later on this year. But it's... God, man. I don't have enough time. I don't. That is a lot of movies, Manny. Have you... I can't remember a time like this, and this is the era of Marvel, DC, and Star Wars making shit all at the same time, and I've never seen a year like this. It's insane.
Yeah, I mean, but it's all because of the situation that we've been through the last year or so. So it's not like something's changing that.
Mm-mm.
just in the market. It was unfortunately because of the pandemic. So now we gotta pick and choose what we're gonna watch, which is why probably that trend of streaming is going to continue for a little bit, because
this year
there's too much content, and you're gonna have to figure out how to space it out. Because realistically, studios understand that you can't go to the theater for all of them. Yeah, there's absolutely no way. So where are you gonna get the most bang for your buck? And that's going to be possibly streaming and promote your own streaming services and whatnot. So
yeah, like we said at the beginning of the idea, it's like, if you guys even said theaters only, I'm not going to be able to catch all of those, at least not opening weekend. I'm still not going to be mad if you do it. I know there's a lot of people that are happy with watching stuff at home, or at least certain things at home, and I get it. I've got a kid, a young kid. Like, I get the appeal, but I'm just one of those theater lovers, man. And it doesn't even have to be a premium. It doesn't have to be an IMAX. Give me just standard, you know, late 90s stadium seating in a chair that doesn't really lean back too much. But
I'm sorry, you said 90s. That kind of theater didn't exist in the 90s.
Yes, we had stadium seating in the 90s. It was brand in the late 97, 98, I think, was the first time I ever did stadium seating, and it was at a Carmike? Yeah, Carmike Cinema. Yep. Now it's like 97, 98, because we were in Georgia and I was in middle school. So yeah. But you are right, those didn't become hugely popular until 2000s, and then you don't get your reclining seats until the 2010s, and then now those are becoming like the idea of premium theaters. Screens are spreading. There's a theater where Brian lives. Every screen in there, it's like 12 screens, I think. Every screen's a premium screen. Every screen has the recliners. Every screen's got the upgraded sound, and like, there's no, like, you know, the movie's been out 6 weeks screen. They're all premium, and which means they cost more, but you know, it is what it is. I'm excited with Warner Brothers doing what they're doing with Suicide Squad, is basically what I'm saying. So guys, it's been a great week here on LR Mornings. If you guys missed yesterday's live broadcast, go check it out. We did have our first of the Cruella ticket giveaways. So of course, make sure you guys are subscribed to YouTube and following the @LRM_exclusive Twitter for additional tickets, giveaway announcements, it's really great. Everyone that's been subscribing to the YouTube channel, keep it up. Share it with your friends and family. Hit the notification bell so you can be notified when all the great interviews and podcast videos go up. Cantina will be up later on today. You got Breaking Geek Radio. Anime Versal Reviews is going to be out tomorrow with a look at, on Saturday, I mean, to give a look at the Rise, Fall, and Rise 2.0 of anime in America. And then Christine and I are looking at doing something we're either going to call Anime Guilty Pleasures or Anime After Midnight or something like that, where we're going to talk about some of the more mature thing, not the H word, but more mature anime for mature people. But yeah, look for that. Manny, what's going on in the near future from the interview side and your side of things, man?
Today I'm featuring interviews from a new Vertical Entertainment comedy called The Get Together, which is a nice little film to get you ready to get back to those backyard barbecues and chilling with your friends. So which we've been doing already, but whatever. Now I guess I'm not breaking the law.
Yeah. Cool stuff. All right, guys. Well, if you can't see the freaking social media information, I'm at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. He's at LRM underscore Emmanuel. And thank you guys so much for joining us this week. And we can't wait to see you next week. And yeah, bye.